you, Cass. Appreciate it. Morning, everybody. Morning. I trust it's a good morning for those of you who are here. It's good, right? Sorry for the folks that are unable to make it, including Pastor Carlos. I noticed that you had the announcement. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'm a Calvary guy. I've been around Calvary since the mid-80s. Pastor Chuck ordained me down in Costa Mesa, and I've been floating around as a, you know, reject for all that time. Actually, what I've done is it's because I've been in, around and planted church. Oh, by the way, that men's conference at Corvallis, if you get a chance to talk to Rob Verdine, ask him about me. We were in the same school ministry together many years ago. As a matter of fact, the first class that the school ministry started at Costa Mesa. So that tells you how old I am. Many of you here weren't born yet. So, you know, it's the history about me. So what I've done is I don't believe in retiring from ministry. You're always in ministry until the Lord calls you home. So I've offered to all the local Calvary guys that, look, if you need somebody to fill in for you, I'm your guy. And so yesterday afternoon, Carlos called, I'm under the weather. Okay, cool. When do you need me? Tomorrow morning. Oh my gosh, I don't even know where Cicada is. I live up in Scappoose, up off the Multnomah Channel. So it was a beautiful drive. First time I've ever been to this beautiful city. And I just, you know, I'm going to enjoy the trip back as well. So thank you for having me here. My goal is, I think I put some up here. Yeah, I've got several erasers up here. If you fall asleep, don't be surprised if one, you know, whacks you upside the head. I'm pretty good aim. But I noticed that you had, and thank you for being gracious, if you will. I noticed that you had your announcements up on the screen. In the old days, churches used to print them. You remember getting printed bulletins and a potluck next week is at noon and that kind of stuff. What I wanted to do is share with you some bulletin bloopers, just a few of them. These are in the old days when they used to print them. Like, here's one. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husband. So spell check and having a second set of eyes on these bulletins. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. Now, these are actual in bulletins. Here's a couple more. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some other ones. Poor thing. Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. Anyway, so I'm glad that you had these, you know, up on the screen. They were certainly easier for Jimmy to go through them. But this morning, I want to do something for you guys. And hopefully, by the time we're done, you recognize that sometimes we, as born-again believers who are spirit-filled Christians, have a dormant side of us, meaning that there are things that are spiritually lying dormant. And this morning when we're done, I'm hoping that by the power of the Spirit and the power of His Word, that your new outlook on 2025 will be stirred up. As a matter of fact, usually I save this for the last slide, but what I'm setting you up for now is that I would love to get another call from Pastor Carlos where he says, Mark, what did you tell these people? Because I've got a line outside my office door of all these people coming in wanting to serve, and how can I serve? That's where I'm hoping for. That's when I leave here, I want to see the line in front of the pastor's office where you saying, sign me up, put me in. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this body. We thank you for this church. We thank you for Pastor Carlos and his wife. We lift him up to you. We ask, Lord, that you would, through your master physician's hand, you would touch their bodies and restore them, that they'll be back up and at them again in no time, Lord, and you get all the glory for it. And so we commit this time unto you, Lord, that we will concentrate, we would comprehensively look at your word and have it dearly affect us. As we prayed earlier this morning, that Lord, we would be different people leaving here than those who came in because of the power of your word and your spirit. So we commit this time unto you, Lord. Speak to us, grant us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Jimmy, is this sound okay? Okay, I just want to make sure it's adjusted right. Now, you might see me during the course of the morning here. I'll be holding a piece of paper, whatever you see. And I don't want you to say, oh, poor guy, he's so nervous. It's not that. It's part of the medical condition. They call it essential tremors. I don't know, some of you guys have had this before. But it looks like, you know, it's hard to hold your hand still. Get my age and that's going to happen. So if you see that, you know, I just want you to realize it's part of a medical condition. All right, if we can go to the next slide. I want to get rolling here on a book. I've written a couple of books, and I was thinking of writing a third book. And as you can see at the top of the slide, I wanted to call it Christianity for Dummies in three easy steps. But since this came out, I'm going to add a fourth one to the bottom of the slide. As a matter of fact, I Googled it. I Googled Christianity for Dummies, and you know there's already a book out there called Christianity for Dummies. It's written by the same publishers that write all those other Dummies books, and sure enough, it's like 400 pages of Christianity for Dummies, and I had it down into three and now four steps. Pretty easy. God created it all. A perfect universe, a perfect earth, and a perfect human. Lucifer ruined it all as a result of his rebellion in heaven. He took a third of the angels with him and deceived humanity, resulting in sinful man. But Jesus redeemed it all through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm going to add the bottom of the slide that now we're just waiting for Jesus to reclaim it. So that's where we are. We are at that point where the sense of imminency that Jesus is going to come back soon, we trust, and reclaim it. Next. So to put ourselves in the right frame here, we have to recognize that if we see the top timeline is from eternity past, eternity future, and God is not trapped in time as we are. But the second timeline is the creation of time. You realize that time was created, right? It wasn't always existing. Time had a start. God created time. Human existence is trapped in this time. But the thing I want to point out to you is this little line here. That is your life on the timeline or on the scale of human timeline. That life span, which will have to be accounted for. What I mean by that is when God calls us home at any given point in time and we stand before him, he's going to say, what did you do with that little line in that timeline of humanity? What did you do with that? And we're going to have to he's going to hold us accountable. We're going to have to account for that time. So with God living in a spiritual realm, he's outside of that time and he's got us here in it. But as we go to the next slide. So I still think this is third day of February. It's still early enough to say, okay, what does 2025 look to us for us? And I want to take this time this morning for us to look at three different areas in 2025. First off, this is a personal thing. This isn't for you to come to me to confess. It isn't to go to Pastor Carlos. It's you and God. And you say, where am I in my personal walk with you, Lord? Where's my walk with you? How am I doing? Secondly, am I genuinely being about his business? And I say that's a genuine question because so many of us are caught up in ourselves. Oh, my God, this bill to pay, or I've got this to do and that to do. And so much of it is in the natural realm, and so little of it is spent in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm not here to beat the sheep. Don't get me wrong. This is just something to help us become more aware of where am I? And then third, how am I utilizing the gifts and talents that he's blessed me with. Now, this isn't a message on, you know, the 12 spiritual gifts, and we're not in Romans, we're not in Corinthians, we're not looking at that. Each one of us, the Bible tells us, is that he's given us a gift or a multitude of gifts. That's the part that we're going to be held accountable for. What did you do with the gift I gave you? He's given them to us to serve his purposes in that small little blip of time we showed you on the previous slide. But before we get to the texts that I know you're going to say, is he ever going to get in the Bible? We'll get there. Next. There we go. So we're going to get to a number of texts this morning, but I want to ask you a question that maybe the only thing you hear or even remember, it's in those red letters there. Will it matter in that little blip of time that you lived? Do you want to have your life accounted to account for something? Or will you be content to endure what you're doing as you're living until you die? I know, I wrote this down, pretty tough statement to make if I wanted to make a bunch of friends today, right? It's like, boy, you're not making a lot of friends with these kinds of comments. But you know what? I've got to say it because it's truth. There is an accountability that we're going to have. And if somebody doesn't bring it up and challenge us with it, then we may wind up standing before the Lord and say, oh, I didn't know I had to be accountable for it. Oh, yes, there was that morning when Carlos was six and Mark filled in. He told you. As a matter of fact, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Next slide, Jimmy. 1 Timothy 4:1. So the Apostle Paul is writing the letters to Timothy, and he is the pastor of the church in Ephesus, Turkey. Timothy is a young guy. And of course, you know, the way how cruel some people can be, they're giving them a hard time as the pastor in Ephesus. And so Paul is writing to him. And in 1 Timothy 4, around verse 12, we'll pick it up there. Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And if you underline, or if you look in your device and you do highlighting, highlight this. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, the word gift in the Greek there says, neglect not the charismata. That is the gift of grace. If you translate that, he says, neglect not the gift of grace that you've received. All right, now let's turn to 2 Timothy 1. Oops, I'm in Peter. Second Timothy 1:3-7 is the good verses to use. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of, oh, by the way, I'm doing King James, so some of you guys may be in different versions going, what is he saying? Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in you also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you would stir up the gift of God. And that gift word is the same word that he used earlier. Stir up the charismata, the gift of grace, which is in you by the putting on of hands. And then let's go to 1 Peter 4. And I'm going to pick it up around verse 7. So recognize that we are in a time here today in 2025 in which there is danger throughout the world. Certainly none of you have been living under a rock. Certainly you know that there is pressure and there's missiles and there's nuclear war and there's Navy submarines and bombers and I mean, it's a scary world out there, is it not? I mean, this is a critical time that we live in. And Peter writes, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer," speaking about even right where we are today. "And above all things, have fervent charity," or love, "among yourselves. For love will cover multitude of sins." We know that one. We have that one down pretty memorized, don't we? "Hey, man, don't do that to me. Love covers," you know, okay. And then verse 9, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Now watch verse 10. "As every man has received the gift," here it is again, "even so minister the same one to another as God, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So we're picking up, and it sounds like it's out of context, so go back and reread these verses again and put it all in context so you can see what he's meaning. I'm just pulling them out for this morning's opportunity here. Next, Jimmy. The Bible tells us that we've been given one or a multitude of gifts that are from God to, watch this, isn't this something? Here we get gifts from God to do good works for God, and then he turns around and blesses you for utilizing the gift he gave you. Go back through that again. God gave you a gift to use for God's kingdom. And then he turns around and blesses you because you used the gift that he gave you. I don't know. What a God we serve. It kind of reminds me of when I took my son shopping. It would be Christmas or my birthday or something. And I'd hand him a $20 bill. "Here, go buy me something." And so I'm taking him. We go to, since it's for me, I go to Nordstrom's. If it was someone else, we'd probably go to Marshall's or something. Just kidding. So I go in. He's got this $20 bill that I preloaded into him. And he finds a tie. And he goes, "Oh, I like this. This would be good for my dad." And I'm standing right here. So he gets up to the cashier, hands her the $20 bill. She gives him the tie. Then when we get home, he runs in, wraps it, and comes out and he goes, "Happy birthday, Dad." It's like, I gave you the money. I was there when you bought it. But what do? You always say, "Oh, cool. Look at this. This is so great. Thanks a lot, son." Right? And that's exactly what God does. He says, "Here, I'm going to give you a gift. You're going to use it to bless me." And I turn around and go, "Way to go. I like that." Do you want to serve God that way? Is that what you would like to do, to use the gift, to recognize he gave you the gift, you use it, and then he blesses you? I mean, that's a closed loop. That's a perfect way to serve the Lord. So, next, here we go. For example, staying on that theme for a moment, he blesses us with the gift of faith. So look at this. Follow the logic. Where he says, we know that this is out of Ephesians, right? You probably quote this a lot. "For it's by grace that you are saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves." Where'd it come from? You can speak up. And it's a gift of God, once again. And it's not of works, of course, just to emphasize that it's a gift, because if it was something you did, you'd boast about it. So next, let's think about this for a moment. What value is there in this gift of eternal life? Let's examine for a moment. Perhaps you received a tithe, back to the tithe thing, as a gift. The price, or the assigned value, we can call it the market value, is about $20. Or maybe some of you ladies received this beautiful $300 diamond bracelet. Some of you got a Boeing 888. Dreamliner, valued at about $50 million. No matter the gift, each one of those items have an assigned price. It's relative to their market value. So what's the point, Mark? So God paid dearly for our gift of eternal life. What's the market value? The life of Christ. Pretty costly. By the way, everybody gets eternal life. Not everybody, though, is going to spend it in the same place. I'd like to give this to you. It's a gift. You can open it. I wrapped it pretty good, huh? Come on now, Cass. I told Carlos we'd be out here by 3. Oh, what is it? A pen. Cool. Do you have $5? You're not going to give me $5 for that pen? Okay, then you can have it. It's a gift. You didn't pay for it, did you? But if Pastor Carlos ever has me come back out here again, I'm going to ask you, what have you done with that pen? Have you used it? It was a gift. It was free. I did that pen thing at a Calvary Chapel in Paris, France. And the room, about as big as this, pretty full. And I don't know. I just went over to where James is sitting. See him look up. He's like, call your name. He goes, whoa, it's me. And I hand the pen to a lady, African woman. Here we are in Paris, France. And she just burst out in tears. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? This usually works, right? And she's just crying. And I thought, oh no, a new river is being formed in Paris. So afterwards, when the message was over, she came up to me and I said, what was, I can sort of speak French too. My mom was French. So I said, Teskey's boss, you know, what's going on? Well, she explained to me in English that she's looking for a church to go to. Last Sunday, she went to a church in Paris where the pastor was praying with her and talking with her, and he says, you know, you need to write. That's a gift. That's what you want to do. She says, okay. The next Sunday, she goes to a church where the pastor actually hands her a pen. And so she goes, boom, you know, okay, I'm getting it. So, and so she said, okay, that's enough for me to know that if I've been given a gift by God, I need to use it. It's a talent. You may have more than that. Now it's time for you to introspectively yourself look at what is my gift? Are any of you guys readers? Anybody read? Oh, cool. I'd like to give you a book. I wrote it. So that's kind of, which one? There you go. You can have that. I hope you enjoy it. That's a gift. You don't owe me any money. So again, the point is today that I want to make sure that we recognize that which God has done for us, that he paid dearly with the life of Christ. So I just want to review a little bit. In 1 Timothy, he says, do not neglect the gift. It makes me think that there may be some of us in this room that are neglecting it. Oh, I know I've got this gift, but I don't want to use it. So Paul says to Timothy, stir up that gift. Recognize it. Don't neglect it. Stir it up. And then Peter writes, minister your gift one to another. I mean, that is a roadmap for 2025. You have a gift of the Holy Spirit living within you. Next slide. Next, after that. Thanks. So you have a gift of the Holy Spirit living within you. So stir it up. It's lying dormant at a time that is so sorely needed. Keep these two encouraging verses in mind. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal spiritual life. Notice the Bible says that our eternal life, our spiritual eternal life in heaven is a gift from God. How did we get that? Because he gave us Jesus. You know, I find it interesting. You're going to do your own word study. I'm going to encourage you to go back home sometime this week, go through and find all the places that gifts are mentioned. It's an amazing study. Gift, giving, you know, all sorts of phrases for the word giving. What I loved is I came across that even Jesus says, peace, my peace I give you. See, even that is a gift. The peace of Christ that we can have within us is a gift from Jesus himself. I don't think we take advantage of the gifts that God has given us. In James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow, or neither a shadow of turning. Next, it's important to understand, too, some helpful definitions. The word gift, you're going to find, is the Greek word for doreia, which is talent, skill, or ability. Jesus says in John 4:10, he's at this Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, I don't think you understand the gift that's talking to you right now. He recognizes himself as a gift to the world. Neglect means to fail to care for the gift properly, like giving your child a brand new bicycle. A month later, it's outside rusting. You're not even taking care of the gift. God says, hey, your gift is rusting. Stir up the gift that is within you. The Greek word here means to reignite, rekindle the gift. And then minister that gift one to another. It means to wait on, to serve one another with your gift. Next slide. So here's some examples of the types of gifts we get. Notice the preposition there, John 3:16. It's a gift of salvation. In Ephesians, it's a gift of faith. In Acts 2:38, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice in Hebrews, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, it's the gift of peace from Jesus himself. My peace I give to you. And again, in John 4:10, he identifies himself as the gift from God. But the next slide says, here's what I think is one of the most important things. We receive the gift of life in exchange for the life of the gift. It's like, I couldn't... You can pass on the next part of the slide, Jimmy, because when I was teaching this at St. Helens, the previous Sunday, Pastor Paul said, Jesus is the answer. So I had to throw in there, hey, what famous person said that Jesus is the answer? And nobody in the church said, oh, that's Pastor Paul from the week before. So it was a gotcha. I should have taken that out of the slide, Jimmy. Would you guys do me a favor? Would you please stand? Cool. You can go ahead and take a seat. So, I just want to prove a point. That here's an absolute nincompoop nobody, me. I asked you politely to stand, and everybody stood. You were so obedient. I asked you to sit. Well, there was a little grumbling, but you sat. You know, and God says, look, I want you to utilize the gift I gave you, but nobody stands when he speaks. It's like, wait a minute. Mark can ask us to stand, and we did it. God says, use your gift, and we'll go, ask me again, make it in triplicate and put it on my desk on Monday morning, and then I'll consider using my gift. Why would we be so obedient to the nobody and not obedient to the somebody? Just a thought. So here's one of my favorite verses regarding the gifts from God. I love this. In 2 Corinthians 9, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable, you can't describe it. Paul describes this as an unspeakable, jaw-dropping off the charts kind of a gift. But remember, this is the same Paul Saul of Tarsus who was killing and murdering people who had accepted that same gift in their lives. Now the penitent Paul is praising the gift as the gift to beat all gifts. Isn't that cool? I know you're going to be tired of hearing the word gift, right? And it's like, oh, it's gift. Is he done? Almost. A couple more slides. So this is a review from the first slide. The bottom line that is what I want to point out to you. Remember that little hour lifespan? Now that is the line that we are going to explain to Christ as we stand before the Bema Seat of Christ and say, what have you done with the gifts? Well, maybe you hadn't done anything up till now. Maybe now this is sort of a message that you say, you know what? I need to be about my Father's business. Time is wrapping up. We're getting to the end of time. This is called imminence. We're living in a time where we know that Jesus is going to return imminently at any time, maybe today, right? Because I have a house payment due. I hope it's today. Just kidding. So that is, next slide. If you do your own homework, your study, you'll find that the word gift or a version of it appears 42 times in 37 verses. I'm going to suggest that there's probably some importance to the word gift or and the meaning behind it because it shows up so much. Do you agree? So to whet your study on the word gift, here's a couple more. We did this, the wages of sin of death. Wages of sin are death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Each one of us has a gift from God. And so I want to encourage you to stay strong as you discover what it is. Maybe you already know. As you deploy it or develop it, and then go out and deploy it. One thing that you need to keep in mind with all that, because it sounds like it could be scary, but God himself, Jesus himself, have said, go out there and do it. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So you're not going out alone. You're not going out in your own strength, but you are going out there in the power and the strength of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that resides within you. Are you guys ready to do something like that? And maybe some of you just had a big lump in your throat and go, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do something like that. That's putting myself out there. Yep, that's the accountability part. So I'm going to close with the last slide. Some final thoughts. This is from David Jeremiah. If you were standing on the threshold of eternity, now think of that timeline on the slides before, looking back over your life, would you be able to see that your faith lives in others, especially in your family members? Have you ministered the gift to others? How is your 2025 going to shape up? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? And how are you planning to be about his business this year? We're only in the second month. So leaves us 11 months to form a plan and make 2025 effective. Oh, and then I read something from a Max Lucado book, but that's because I didn't change or edit the slides. In a few moments, I'm going to have Cass come back up and lead us in a closing song of worship. And while she's leading us in music, I'd like you to just think about you, your gift, and how you're going to employ it, how you're going to develop it and deploy it. Use it in your family, in your community, in your job, wherever the Lord leads you. And also, some elders are going to come up and pray with you. Here's the thing I'd love to see, and I've said this before, is when we're done here today, that Monday morning, you know, while Carlos may not feel better, but next time he's in the office, that you guys would line up, that you would come down there, make an appointment, and say, how can I serve? Put me in. Show me where it is that we have a need in the church that I can fill. I have a gift, and I want to employ it. It'll blow them away. It'll blow them away. And if you feel so led that you want to begin to employ a gift or search it out and you want prayer for that, then come on up. By all means, let us pray with you, pray for you. One of these days we don't read newspapers very much, right? But one of these days I want to be able to see a headline, Estacada Church blows the community apart, you know, with their ministry to the community, whatever the gift is. I'm not pinpointing it. I'm going to hold you accountable with that pen I gave you. Yeah. All right, so Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your gifts that you've given us. Lord, we just want to be recognizing that there is an accountability that we have for that gift. It's cost the life of your son to give us a gift of eternal life. We need to recognize the market value of that, what it cost you, Lord, for us to get into heaven. sometimes we just don't give that enough valuation. So Lord, this day, as we go forth from here, may your Spirit continue to penetrate our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Show us, Lord, where there's areas you want us to improve, where you want us to learn and study, and study to be shown as a more approved of you, Lord. So we lift up Carlos and the sick people, Lord, that you would help heal them, bring them back to health quickly. And Lord, that Estacada will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.